Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Today's day one on our step to try to do something special, and it's an opportunity, and that's what I talked to the players about yesterday. It's an opportunity to get better. It's an opportunity to raise our standard. You know, every one of us in this organization has to raise our kind of personal standard, and that's what I challenged the group on yesterday, and Lindy did as well. And so you understand the first day, there's a little bit of, even as a veteran, there's always a little bit of anxiety, adrenaline, whatever you want to call it. But I expect us to quickly grasp the system that Lindy's going to be putting in place. And we are treating today as not day one of training camp, basically as the season starting. And you'll see a little bit of a different camp because of going to Europe and because of the new coaching staff.
Lindy Ruff put him through the paces to start today, yep. But that was just one of three groups. And we'll dive into, all that we can so far, because obviously there's still one practice ongoing and one more to come this afternoon. But the main contingent of what is likely to be very close to the team's opening lineup in Prague on October 4th was first out of the blocks today with Marty and Brian, unfortunately not with Rasmus Dahlin on the ice this morning for the bulk of that first session, as he had a very, very, very short period of time out there before feeling some discomfort, obviously, and left with what was described as not a lower body injury. First identified as mid by Randy Ruff with a little bit of a chuckle, but an evaluation is going on. So, you know, with every perfectly sunny day, there is a cloud occasionally, and it's unfortunate for Dahlin, obviously, and company, but we'll await further word and go from there.
It's not just a gray cloud. It could be a black cloud. Like, you don't know. Like, it could be just one that passes and misses you. You're on the golf course. You look over. You say, oh, it's getting dark. You don't know what's going to happen. But it may pass over, and then you'll be fine. You may not get that storm or that rain and, you know, the negative news in the coming hours or coming days. But it is a little concerning, not because – you know, players are going to get hurt. Players are going to get banged up. Players may go one-on-one battles and crush each other and hit each other. And maybe somebody gets banged up that way. This was, according to Lindy Ruff, just he made a pass and, you know, felt some discomfort. And we wanted to be, you know, taking caution and precautionary about it. So it's day one of, as Kevin Adams says, it's day one of the regular season or day one of the season. Yeah. But it's also in your mind, day one of camp, and there's a long time before it really means something for a guy like Rasmus Dahlin. So there's no need to push it so far right now. So not the best of news, because of all the players, he's probably the one at the top of the list of, I hope he's healthy on, you know, October 4th when they play the New Jersey Devils. But right now we're not there yet.
Well, when you look at the list that is team, or not team blue, the blue group, let's call them.
Yes.
As they came out this morning at 9 o'clock.
Blue man group.
Yeah, I wouldn't go there. I'm just going to call them team blue. But, you know, it's obviously widely presumed, speculated that this is as close to what you're going to see at the start of this. Do you believe that? Obviously, it's Luukkonen and Levi.
Yes.
And, you know, Yuri Kulik had a very good prospects challenge. He's out there, but it was impossible to have exact, consistent line combinations and pairings. The D especially interrupted because of Dahlin's early departure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you had moments where Benson was with Cousins and Quinn. You had Jiří in that situation as well. But you also had Jiří up there with Thompson and Tuck. And you had a few different combinations through lines three and four as well. Like when you take what the general manager said this morning, and then what Lindy said after practice, and marry it to how these groups are laid out, like, have you kind of made up your mind already on what you're likely to see on October 4th and 5th?
I've made up my mind. It doesn't mean that there won't be a few tweaks here and there as we go. But mm-hmm. I think what we saw in the first session with the blue group this morning are the guys that you start the season with. Now, I was intrigued because it was Luukkonen and Levi, right? And I've mm-hmm. talked on this show many times that I think it probably, in my opinion, but it's way too early to say, would be Luukkonen and Reimer with Levi starting, playing a ton of games in Rochester. Get your season going by playing games, and then when they need you, or if they need you at some point, November, December, boom, you're ready to go. So for me, that was interesting how Luukkonen and Levi were the two goalies in that session. Also interesting because the Sabres come into camp with eight goaltenders, that there wasn't three on the ice, that it wasn't Luukkonen, Levi, and Reimer. So that is maybe an even bigger sign of, hey, look, we wanted to get our game group going. 14 forwards, 8 defensemen, 2 goalies. Boom. That's it, right? There's 24 guys on the ice. The Sabres roster, when they start the season, not in Europe, because Europe, they'll be able to have, you know, an extra goaltenders on the roster. There's different rules that will be allowed to New Jersey and Buffalo to start the season with their roster. But when they come back to North America, come back to Buffalo, get ready for October 10, I believe they will have 14 forwards, 7 defensemen, 2 goaltenders. So basically right now you have 14 forwards that were on the ice. You had 8 defensemen, but Dahlin left early. So that leaves you with 7 defensemen and 2 goalies. It's pretty clear to me. Those are the guys that are in the full mix for top 12, top 6, the 2 goalies.
Please forgive me if it comes across as me forgetting some of the things you have talked about this summer. You know, we've done the dance so many times that perhaps sometimes because I was mildly surprised when you just said that you were thinking it would be Luukkonen and Reimer.
Yeah,
I guess I was casually, conveniently forgetting that maybe you were leaning that way. But let me twist, you know, or flip the facts of this morning. Like, if it had been Luukkonen and Reimer in the first practice group, how would you have reacted, and how do you think others would have reacted? Because I think people would have reacted in a very different
way that I would have.
Right. I think people are thinking this is how it should have started today with Luukkonen and Levi.
Yes, I think the...
And by the way, Sandstrom and Reimer are out there right now among the 7 tenders, not including you, who are at camp.
Yeah, no, I'm the 8. That's why I said 8, because I'm always kind of putting myself in it. I don't do any of the fitness testing. I did my medical physical with my doctor a month ago, so I'm good. I'm good to go.
And you'll be there for than willing to have a photo shoot once, you know, like...
Yeah.
You're going to look pretty good come Saturday.
This is my 18th training camp, like, you know, and a picture of me, like my first camp, I'll sign that. But I saw an Ozzy Kopitar funny thing where they showed him his first picture of camp and he held it now to his new picture. So it was kind of funny in LA. But okay, I think that, yes, more of the fans, especially the ones that are, I don't want to say vocal on social media, but the ones that really, you know, have their heart set on what they want to see, most of them, 95% of them are thinking Luukkonen and Levi. And when it was Luukkonen and Levi working with, you know, Mike Bill's a goalie coach to start the session, they always do that. It was, you know, put out there on social media by by everyone, it's basically, oh yeah, that's great. Like, let's look at Levi's equipment. Let's look at Luukkonen. Like, it's it was normal. Yep. For me, it was more like, oh, wait a second, Luukkonen and Levi? Like, I would have had this plan in my mind to say Luukkonen and Reimer. And another thing we talked about this summer that maybe we forget, but I was going through some of my notes. I even said I would play Luukkonen in both games against the New Jersey Devils.
I remember asking you that. Yes.
Yeah. I would like play both games. Who cares? Play both games. Play the 10th, play the 12th. Get 5, 6, 7 games to start the season with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Mm-hmm. Reimer can sit on the bench, like wait his time as the backup, and Levi can play 6, 7, 8 games in Rochester to start the season. And then we see where we are. Do we need Levi up here? We need to give Luukkonen a little bit of help. Is Reimer going to play a few games? But when I saw Luukkonen and Levi this morning, I'm like, well, that's not what I was thinking. It doesn't mean it's the wrong thing. But it seems clear to me that Kevin Adams, Lindy Ruff, Mike Bills, everybody is thinking, hey, let's start this way with our main group of guys and let's see what happens. In a week from now, it could change, but I would anticipate Luukkonen and Levi and Reimer are going to Europe. You're not going to just take two over there. So we can talk about this for a long time, but they'll have three goalies in Europe.
Did you... at the end of a practice, and I don't know whether it's really any different day one or day 101, did you always find that, like, when the team gathered at center ice for the little post-practice stretch, that you were an active stretching guy in that moment, or were you just, like, on one knee and ready to get off the ice?
I was... do you remember the movie? Well, movies are tough for you, but maybe you remember, like, Old School with Will Ferrell when they do the...
Not enough to quote
at the end, and they have to do he kind of stretches a little bit, like I touch my toe, did a little twist. I'm good, I'm out. Like it's the end of practice. I'd much rather do a cool down in the locker. Yeah, that was me. I would do a cool down maybe in the locker room, in the gym, whatever. But you know, there's a question. Where's the gym? That's what I used to ask everybody. Hey, where's the gym? Like,
the only reason I bring it up, and I wasn't obviously glued to Luukkonen prior to the actual gathering at center ice, so I don't know whether he had had a little cool down moment beforehand, but I found it amusing just watching the entirety of the group, and Luukkonen was on the far side closest to, you know, the bench door to get off the ice, and Levi was on the near side, and Levi was full splits. Stretching, and in ways that I was like, dude, calm down. Like, you've just had a really good session out there.
If I was flexible and if I was good at stretching, I would show it off. But it was like the other way. I was so unflexible.
It felt like it maybe had a little bit of that. It might have had a little bit of flair. Yeah.
You know what I did, though? I would always, like, shoot pucks at guys and, like, you know, mention something that, you know, I would talk. Obviously, I would be talking. I'd be taking jabs at players. I'd be putting guys in uncomfortable position. That was my job during team stretch.
All right. Well, we can run a lot of Lindy sound and Kevin sound. That way you don't have to hear our sound for the entirety of this Sabres Live. So why don't we get to Lindy on today's compete?
The focus on today was like a high compete, real high compete. A lot of individual battles, a lot of physicality. There was a couple of drills that pushed him to the limit. You know, the practice, you know, some of the details inside, we had to slow up a little bit, which made the practice a little bit longer. We wanted to see the compete first. I think you can build your fitness in those compete, some of those up and down the ice for 5 minutes. That's a tough skate for him. So I was impressed. I liked the day. I liked the practice. I liked what the group did.
Lindy, after the first group session today, again, there are three groups, and mostly what we saw in the blue group this morning was what you would expect to see on night one. My takeaway along those lines, Marty, of the, you know, the effort and the endurance that is required is not for the entirety of a practice, which, yes, that's also needed. But I felt like within some of the back and forths, and not even including the ones that they had to redo at certain times, if there was an offside or a poor choice on a dump in or whatever, and it's like, hey, redo it. I liked how some of these drills seem to have a built-in extension to them as opposed to what you would normally see. So it was funny because we were just at NHL broadcast meetings in New York, and we're, you know, kind of immersing ourselves and reminding ourselves of all the technology we have at our fingertips and things that we witness a lot and speak of a lot, you know, length of shift and things like that. And I could feel it in the practice as if the counter was going into the red zone and really high in the red zone as far as, oh boy, this is a long shift. This is a long shift. This is a long shift. And you're watching the guys try to adapt to it, right? And there was, then there's a reason for it. A, it can be a reality within games, but how are you going to get yourself out of these situations? How long can you stay in the battle? And I think that's what really stood out to me in some moments. Obviously, you can't do that over and over and over, but there was a lot of it early on here today.
I'll tell you, Lindy Ruff is always going to be Lindy Ruff. Now, he's evolved a lot. Right. He said he's nowhere near the coach he was 20 years ago, 15 years ago. He's evolved. He's changed. He's adapted new teachings, new techniques, but he'll always be Lindy Ruff at his core. And there's some non-negotiable. You mentioned offside and dump ins. I can tell you the amount of times Maxim Afinagenov went offside in a practice that Lindy blew the whistle and was like, nope, redo it. We don't go offside. And when I saw that he stopped practice today because of an offside, it made me chuckle. I'm like, still good old Lindy. He will not accept an offside. He may accept other things, you know, that other coach won't, but he won't accept offsides. And that was back in the days. Dump-ins. Jeff Sanderson, one year, I still cry laughing thinking about this drill. We were at the Northtown Center. Lindy was explaining the drill and how he wanted a hard rim that would go around the boards. So our right winger, like Sandy was lefty, came down the left wing, shot it hard so that the right winger could go and pick it up on the fly. And then there's a reverse behind the net and you attack. So Sandy comes in the drill. He chips it in the corner. Lindy blows the whistle. Sandy, that's not the drill. Sandy comes back. He shoots it on net. Sandy, that's not the drill. So we all gathered at the red line. And he goes, Sandy, I want you to go hard behind the net. Okay. So Sandy, because thinking he wants to go hard behind the net, for him, it's skating hard behind the net. So he takes the puck, one hand on his stick, protects around the defenseman, and skates hard around the net with the puck. Lindy was just about ready to lose his mind. He's like, get off the ice. Get off the ice. That was a non-negotiable, especially in the days, because that was in an era of the trap and clogging up the neutral zone. Dump-ins were huge. You had to put in an area to be able to forecheck. But that was a part of his core, a non-negotiable. Like, if we're going to put the puck in the right position on a dump-in, you better work hard at it and know what you're doing. So offsides and dump-ins were huge in Lindy's approach to practice to make sure that people are paying attention. No different than any other coaches. Other coaches have different ways to do it. But when I saw that day one, I chuckled. I'm like, hey, it's good old Lindy. They're not going to go offside in practice because they know it's not going to go well.
One thing Lindy did talk about after practice, when you mentioned the phrase, and I undoubtedly will hear it over and over as far as non-negotiables, he cited the one thing that we can't do and won't do is take unnecessary penalties, meaning, you know, like whatever, laziness, you know, like putting a glove on somebody to impede them, whatever. The reason that thought from him stood out to me was the Sabres have already been very disciplined in recent years. So like, I don't know how much better they can get as far as, you know, time spent on the penalty kill. But sometimes those two things don't equate, right? Because you can have bad habits that don't necessarily lead to penalties and vice versa, right? You can get called for something. It's so I'm just, it's just another little thing that I'm now going to keep a mindful watch of, or try to keep on top of here. Just how do they look? You know, it's hard to say organizationally through the preseason, because we know we're going to see a lot of Amerks, you know, playing NHL preseason games based on, you know, how this preseason is laid out with Europe and start of season and stuff. But anyway, it's a wrinkle to consider. But
I'll say this, penalties, I don't want to say an expectation, but I am an anticipation that I think the Sabres may take more penalties this year. Why? Because all that I know out of Lindy Ruff is always, we are going to go, 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 go. Kevin Adams acquires guys that are fast, that skate. So it's going to be, we're going to skate hard, and we're going to be, it's not going to be this controlled, like, oh, pay attention to where it's going. And then you have a chance to evaluate where you want to go. It's going to be last second. It's going to be, we're going to skate hard. We're going to go there. There may be a trip there. There may be a hook there. There may be a, you know, interference there, because you're so quick on things. But you cannot take the bad ones, the undisciplined ones. That was always the thing with Lindy. Lindy always said, I don't care if we take 10 penalties. If we're aggressive and we skate hard and they're hockey penalties and they just happen, but we're not going to take the stupid ones. Stupid penalties are going to be like thrown in the garbage, and I don't want any of that. So I think maybe penalties are going to go up a little bit, which doesn't matter. I mean, unless you're the most penalized team in the league and your penalty kill is terrible, then it affects you. But I think it will go hand in hand with a better, faster, more aggressive type of game that's going to help them in the long run anyway.
They were middle of the pack last year as far as time shorthanded. Yuri Kulik is not expected to be talked about at the NHL level when it comes to being shorthanded. He may well carve out power play time at some point this
year.
Power play
specialist.
Knows? But fact of the matter is, he, as you would expect, has not earned a spot yet. He did just about, in the eyes of many, everything he could at the Prospects Challenge. Here's the GM and the coach on Yuri Kulik and where he stands.
Well, I thought he dominated, you know, say it mildly. I thought he was the best player on the ice in the games he played in. And, you know, I have been telling you for 2 years, I think this kid's going to be a special player in the NHL. And I still do. He's a young player. He needs to work on certain areas of his game. But what I love about Yuri is he, from Seth and the coaching staff last year in Rochester, he took the feedback and really put, you know, the work in the summer and how can I be better in areas. I mean, I think if you guys were watching closely, besides the goals, we all know he's got an elite shot and he can make plays, but the puck battles and the getting to the net and getting under guys' sticks, and that's the stuff that, you know, he put a lot of work and thought into that. So, you know, I think we've backed this up. When a player kicks the door open and belongs, we make sure they're here. And this is all about winning, you know. So if we feel right now he's going to help our team, then he's gonna be here. And if he's not right in the beginning, that just, it's just a matter of time until he is. We'll just let that sort itself out.
He had a real, real impressive prospect tournament. At first, from just work ethic alone, I thought it was really good. He's got a great shot, skates well. I thought his compete inside the game was good. He did a lot of great things. He was the guy you noticed the most. And I'm not even looking at the offensive side of it. I mean, he's got a bullet for a shot, which, you know, you can't teach that. You have it or you don't, and he's got it. But, you know, play at this level. Can you play away from the puck? Can you skate with him? His skating, I was impressed with his skating. I was impressed with his level of strength, you know, in one-on-one battles and keeping guys at bay, too. So, very impressive young man.
So, he was part of the first group today. Do you think he will be in the opening day lineup that competes against the Devils on October 4th?
So opening day lineup is still a very big question mark. I think he makes the opening day roster, which would allow for 14 forwards. So he's one of those 14 forwards. But I think he'll be given an opportunity to be playing in top six role. It's just a matter of can he perform. For me, if you have Jiří Kulík in the lineup, he is in the top six. Does that mean that he's playing maybe with Thompson and Tuck on the top line, where Jiří Paterka is probably more slotted to be in? And do you have Kulík with Cousins and Quinn, or do you have, you know, maybe a Zucker there, maybe a Benson there? So I think you have to put Jiří Kulík in the top six for him to be in opening day lineup. Opening day roster, for me, he's 100%. And maybe game one he's not, and the Sabres are like, we need him for game two, and then you put him in the top six and you see what he can do. I 100% agree with both Kevin and Lindy. I think Jiří Kulík is going to be a fantastic player in the National Hockey League. I think his shot is better than 95% of shots in the National Hockey League. Not saying it's Austin Matthews' shot, not saying it's you know, Nathan MacKinnon's shot, not yet. But I really feel that he has the confidence and the ability to continue working on it. Now, funny enough, Lindy talks about his compete level. I saw this Friday and Saturday game. I worked the Friday and Saturday game. I thought there was moments where he competed really high. There was moments where it was just okay. The compete, but I'd much rather come in today and tell you, wow, the way he shot the puck, the way he took it to the net, the way he found like little space in plays, like that's what I want to see. I'd much rather come in today tell you that was impressive as opposed to, he didn't really score. He didn't, but man, did he compete 100% of the time? Like, no, yeah. I don't care if Jiří Kulík competes 100% of the time. I want him to take three consecutive one-timers where one he hits the goalie in the mask, one he hits the post, the other one's in the net. Like, that was three consecutive Isaac Rosanne pass across, one-timer, 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 and they all three could have gone in, and he did score on one out of the three. But that sequence alone for me on Saturday night against New Jersey was very impressive.
If there's other talking points you want us to get into right away or just gradually do so through camp, you can always hit us up on X at Sabres Live. And, of course, we want you in the building when Buffalo, not only here for the preseason, but when the regular season begins at KeyBank, which is after the two season-opening games in Prague. October 10th is the home opener. 40 games in total here in this building. And, of course, single-game tickets are on sale right now. Purchase through Ticketmaster, and we hope to see you here through the course of the regular season. Sabres.com/tickets. Lots more to get to, including a quick overview of the other practice groups that are taking the ice here at KeyBank Center today, all on the backside of our first show in what seems like forever. Back on Sabres Live. Stay with us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Let me just, I'll just say this. I've got no update, but it's just one of those things you pass in the puck and, you know, something happened. So, you know, precaution got him off. He's going to get looked at, and then we'll find out what's going on.
Upper, lower?
Kind of mid-range, I think. I can tell you right now, it wasn't lower.
That was Lindy Ruff pretty early on in his presser this morning after the first group skated. And that was the first group that should have had Rasmus Dahlin for the entirety, but didn't, as he left early. And that was the update from the coach. And obviously stay with our social media channels and we'll give you the latest when it becomes available. Of course, this is the inevitability of pro sports, not to mention life. Not feeling 100% all the time. And now with camps opening across the NHL, you will have your timeline inundated with injury updates and unfortunate realities and things of that nature. Just learned Jason Robertson has been non-weight bearing. His foot? Yeah, it's the last 6 weeks. Yep. So he's going to miss the majority of the camp for the Dallas Stars. And that's just one.
Marchand in Boston is going to miss like the first few days.
Never ever going to mention him. So you stay in your lane.
I'm just saying that came about because somehow my timeline got filled with Don Sweeney quotes this morning of his press availability. Well, I know how because Jeremy Swayman's name came about and it was, we all know Jeremy Swayman will not report to camp. He doesn't have a contract. Now, where with Dreger, we talked about 6 to 10 million range, like player wants 10 and the team's offering six. It looks as though it's more like 6.5 to 8.5 now. So it's closed the gap a little bit. But Don Sweeney says, I'm confident we will have Jeremy Swayman sign by December 1st. That's basically the deadline for RFAs to sign their contract. I'm like, whoa, he's taking a shot down the road. Like it's not even, you know, October 1st or by the first week of the season. No, he's talking about December 1st. So that's a whole other thing. We have enough Sabres news to fill the show, but that was one that stood out this morning.
Right. And it is happening within the division. So it's ultra important. Yep. And if you're thinking about, well, when was the last guy to push the December 1st deadline? It was obviously Willie Nylander, right?
Nylander. Yep. So, and now they have Mitch Marner today saying, I don't want to talk about my contract.
And then proceeded to talk about it.
About saying how he loves Buffalo and that's home. I'm the Buffalo, Toronto, and that's home. Well, maybe I just willed Mitch Marner in Buffalo. I don't know. And Tavares, again, saying, I want to be here longer than just this year. Like, it's like, whoa. Like, this saga in Toronto of, will they keep Marner? Will they keep Tavares? Matthews, Nylander? It's still going on this year.
I cannot envision that group not being together moving forward. I think they will keep trying and trying and trying, and they will lean on the group. Look, the periphery is always going to change with the Maple Leafs from 1 year to the next, maybe not exactly 1 year to the next based on multi-year deals, but you know what I'm saying here. I think they're going to have that core for a long time. And, you know, obviously Tavares's age is at the outer edge of that core, but I firmly believe that John wants to stay there, right? For the rest, He'll take less, probably get a better deal on his cable package to offset taking less. And
now they get a better deal because Rogers just put a
Cable companies, Marty. He could get his deal either way. Yes.
But now it's going to be like, okay, there's a lot of money there as well. But anyway, enough on the Leafs. I get what you're saying. Injuries, guys not skating, Dahlin not skating today, went on the ice. Built a little something. We'll probably get updates in the next, you know, tomorrow, the next day, whatnot. But there's a lot of those guys around the league that are not skating and they want to camp. That's just the reality of it.
But the second group is out there right now. And, you know, if you haven't had a chance to look beyond or look at the entirety of all the names that are in camp right now, and especially for those of you on the MSG side, as we, you know, are able to throw up the white roster right now, which has Sandstrom and Reimer as the tenders. And I think most notably, all due respect to everybody on the blue line, but Ryan Johnson is going to garner the most attention amidst this group of five. And then it's amazing how where we were at, let's say, at the end of last regular season, not knowing what was going to come from July 1st and free agency, and only recognizing players that were at that time maybe on expiring contracts, or in the case of Lucas Rusek, already had a one-way deal in place for this season.
Yes.
And now you look at Rusek in this group with Team White, and he's out there with Austlin and newcomers like, you know, Josh Dunn, most notably, because I think Dunn is, he'll probably be the quietly overlooked name, but Dunn also signed a multi-year deal here with the organization, right? So now we talk so much about top-end players and their future potential, but Dunn is intriguing to me because if something goes amiss injury-wise or whatever with your bottom six, and if Dunn is playing well, I could easily see him becoming a guy that fills in, like, oh my gosh, we need a guy at the last minute here for fourth line. And he had a wonderful playoff for Cleveland, which earned him, you know, but he's not going to be an attention grabber here. But Rusek.
No, he's not, because Rusek is, and Noah Hosland is, and Anton Wahlberg will be, and Isaac Rosanne will be. And those are the guys that you'll focus on, obviously. But Rusek is interesting to me because we had Prospect Challenge. Lucas Rusek is not part of Prospect Challenge. He's played in the American League. He's played NHL games. He's not a prospect. I almost feel like he started with two strikes against them in this training camp, maybe, in my opinion, just because now we've got 14 players in the blue group, the main group, 14 forwards, I should say. He's not one of them. He hasn't skated a scrimmage, a preseason game yet. So we're talking, hey, you know what? Constellanius, that's another guy that maybe will get a look in preseason. Yuri Kulik, Isaac Rosanne, Austlin, Wahlberg. You've got five or six or seven forwards that you mentioned now before Lucas Rusek. And the guy hasn't done anything bad.
No.
He's just, he's like, I haven't had a chance to be on the ice yet. Like, give me a chance to be on the ice and I'll show you what I can do. So that's, to me, is one that I'll pay attention to, but it's not one of the names that most people are going to say, hey, Lucas Rusek is fighting for a roster spot on, you know, 14 or 15 forwards they're going to keep. It's going to be harder.
And when the gold team comes out later this afternoon, which, yes, these are long days when you have three significant groups that need the ice time and need to get the same message that the first group got today. It's going to be pushed through this group that has, as you mentioned, Rosanne and Wahlberg and Hellenius. And on the blue line, you've got another not to be forgotten name in the sense of depth. And that is someone who has NHL experience in Cale Clegg, who came back to the organization. And I think it, or stayed with, if you will, the organization.
Yes.
I think it's always fascinating to me when guys like that, you know, who have significant AHL time on their resume, but still have youth on their side and NHL experience, like what pushes them to stay in the organization and give themselves another fighting chance when they know, because they've seen it and they've felt it, they know the exact number of players and everything about them that may be ahead of them on the depth chart. Like, what is it that keeps a Cale Clegg here as opposed to pursuing a different organization and thinking, I've got a better chance there?
Well, what keeps a Cale Clegg from continuing is, number one, familiarity, the desire. Like, a team is coming in and you're like, we want to keep you. You're a big part of us. You know, contracts are big as well. What kind of AHL part of your contract can you get? Some guaranteed money in the contract or whatever. Yeah. Sometimes it's very appreciated. But when you're Cale Clegg and you make that decision, I feel that if you're not in the top nine, in the top eight, you're probably saying, I'm going to go somewhere else. Now, is he on the borderline of that top nine? Probably. Your top eight, like if you go according to Team Blue, you had Dallin Power, Byram Yokiharju, Samuelson Clifton, Bryson Gilbert. Mm-hmm. That's your eight. Is Ryan Johnson nine?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so Kel Clegg is like, has to think, can I be more of a role player for Buffalo if they need me to be than others on the organization? And can I prove that in training camp? I think that's where things play out. But look, Buffalo is lucky. Rochester is a fantastic franchise. Rochester has had success of late. Kel Clegg is probably saying, hey, even if I'm not in Buffalo, I'll be in Rochester. We have a lot of young players. A lot of NHL eyes are going to be on the Rochester Americans this year. Why? Because they'll be looking at all these prospects, all these players. I'll be one of them. If I play well, maybe that opens the door next year for something else if I don't get the chance in Buffalo.
Right. And Clegg played three with the Sabres last year, but obviously the dynamic changed in Rochester in the sense of even though Ethan Prowl came back, you had other players move along to different organizations. Yes. The Davies and
Ciccone,
thank you. I was about to get my card.
Can't forget him. Can't forget him.
Yes, I know. You know, that was a pairing that ate up a ton of minutes. So, and this was not meant to be a Kale Clegg discussion. What it was meant to be in giving the overview of all three groups and based on how we started, you know, the show by talking about, boy, that first group looks really like the roster that you're going to see on opening night.
Yep.
Like, what should we be still looking for out of these other groups and knowing full well that some of these guys might actually get more NHL preseason games this year because the team is bolting to Europe for a preseason game in Germany before opening the season in Czechia.
So the Sabres technically play seven preseason games, six NHL preseason games, and then the one against Red Bull in Munich. More often than not, at least 60% of the roster would be constructed of NHL players. Well, those NHL players after game two are gone. They're gone to Europe. So there's four preseason games, NHL preseason games, that you will not have any of your main roster guys available to you. Mm-hmm. So again, maybe for Kel Clegg, maybe for Brett Murray, maybe for Ryan Johnson, that is a very good opportunity to say, I might play four preseason games and get myself into a better place. You better perform, though. And it's not going to be easy because if you're the Buffalo Sabres playing the Pittsburgh Penguins late in the preseason or whatnot, you may see a lot of Crosby and Malkin, and you may not have Thompson and Tuck and Dahlin, right? So it's going to be challenging.
So how hard, really, like, let's be real here, because you've lived these experiences with lopsided, in theory, lineups going head-to-head in preseason. But we also know that sometimes the effort isn't even up on both sides based on veteran status and urgent desire as a young player to make a name. Like, but let's, assuming that all the main Sabres have gone to Europe, like, what could these games be like for Hellenius, Neutscheb, Wahlberg, and even just start with those three without speculating on others?
It's an eye-opener. It's a life experience, and it's an eye-opener, excuse me, because in that situation, a Constellinus maybe is playing a third line with a couple of guys, and they're not going to be on the ice with, you know, let's see, Detroit, the last game of the season, against Dylan Larkin and Lucas Raymond and Alex DeBrincat and those guys, Patrick Kane. Well, now maybe he is. Maybe Constellinus is, like, trying to take the puck away from Patrick Kane, and you're like, hey, that's a life experience. Now, I was gifted a life experience my first training camp. I played a half a game at the odd against the St. Louis Blues after Dominic Hasek. Me and Jamie Key were the only two, like, basically rookies or drafted players that stayed to play a preseason game. That was John Muckler saying, I'm giving you that experience. But now, it's not so much Lindy Ruff or Kevin Adams saying, we're giving you that experience. Anton Wahlberg, Noah Oslin, you know, Constellinus. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that the schedule is there. Great experience for those guys. little different, and it may, the scores may not be the best that you, but hey, fight, go out there. Let's see what happens. You have nothing to lose. Like, you know, it's just for your experience.
Real quick from a question on X, why 2 years for Krebs? Obviously Peyton got his deal while we were off air over the last few days. So what do you make of that signing and why?
Well, I think when Darren Dreger was on with us last week, last Thursday, I said, do you think that's a possibility that basically there's been two offers on the table? Basically, your qualifying offer, which is 1 year, just under 900,000, and a 2 year offer that's probably around the 1.3, 1.4 range, just to say, hey, look, we like you. It's 1.3, 1.4, but it's 2 years, just to give you a little bit more of time to feel yourself. So the 2 years to me is just saying, look, Peyton Krebs is still young. Peyton Krebs still has some upside, mm-hmm. and a lot of upside as a first round pick, given the opportunity, maybe that would be just to let him know you have 2 years to really show us what you've got. One year kind of tightens them up, right? It's like, if I don't have a chance in the first month, I'm screwed. No, you have 2 years to show us now. But it's not $2.5-3 million. It's $1.45. I mean, that's what it is.
And you'll have less than 2 minutes at the end of this show to wow them once again. Great to be back in the rink. We're Sabres Live, and we're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Congrats to Nick Foligno and Victor Hedman, new captains in Chicago and Tampa, respectively. Happy birthday, Scotty Bowman. And Marty, what from 91 has drawn your attention?
This day in 1991, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 drop, Guns N' Roses.
Don't you cry.
Don't cry. Oh, but we used to play that album from start to finish, right? Mm-hmm. Starting with Perfect Crime. It was Bad Obsession. November Rain was on there. It was like you'd play it from one end to the other. Use Your Illusion 1 was
Jose
the best
Altuve,
one, in my opinion.
Ripped off his sock and shoe last night in the ninth inning. What piece of equipment would you eagerly, quickly remove to try to plead, make your case to a referee?
It would be the mask, so they can see me. Like, a mask, we're talking. Like, Curtis Joseph chasing Mick Magoo. That's like, you know, everything fell. The mask fell. The gloves fell. Everything fell. So that was, wow, what a blooper that was when that happened.
What a bizarre scene, ripping off the sock and shoe to say, hey, it hit my foot. It was a foul ball. To no avail for Altuve.
Look at my toenail. Look at my toenail. Yeah. It's broken.
As usual, the Astros won. We'll see you tomorrow. Yes.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.